Who is like the Lord? And the answer is nobody. Amen. Thank God for the word and the song. Amen. Got a couple of things I want to share with you. First of all, for those of you that are in the parking lot, those at home, you should have already received the communion that we'll be celebrating in just a few minutes at the close of the service. So you should already have that. And we're going to celebrate communion. And this gives us an opportunity to recognize what Christ has done for us. He says, do this in remembrance of me. So we want to recognize that. Also, you should have also received your tithing statements from the church. What you've given throughout the year, you should have already received that. And for those of you that gave online, you will need to go online and pull the amounts that you've given. I think Sean is still going to send out some emails, but just in case you don't get the email of your online giving, you can go to that place where you give, and there's a little box on the left where you kind of look and you can pull up the information that you gave for 2020. And thank you for what you've given. We've been blessed this year. Our church has continued in ministry because of your giving and because of the things that you've done in honoring God. So thank you for that. Also, today we're grateful. The Lord is blessing some of our members that have been in the hospital. And Lord Irving, I'm telling you, God brought him through. The Lord brought him through, and we're very grateful. But pray for Garland Clark. We really need you to pray that God would bless him and help him and strengthen him. And many others, some of your seniors that are at home, we ask that you remember them in prayer. Miss Ruby Mickles, Miss Scott, many of our members, we're asking that you remember them. Cliff Daring, all of our seniors that are going through the struggle, this pandemic. And if you can, just give them a call. Just let them know that you're thinking about them and that you're praying for them. Go to our website. A lot of good resources at our website. I was amazed that some of the manuscripts, and please forgive me for the typos. Okay, now you're going to see some typos in there and some wording things off. I was amazed that Eddie and Charlene have been able to put the manuscripts from the last couple of years as well as the audio sermons. So go on there. And it's not so much where it's Pastor Coleman. No, these are things that God laid on my heart. These are things that I feel is important to us as a congregation and as a church. So go to the website, crossroadbc.com. And you'll be able to get some very good resources that will be helpful to you. You can kind of search through them and find the manuscript, and then you can go back and listen to the audio if you can get the date on it. So maybe some things that will be encouraging to you, because all of it is based on God's Word. God's Word. Amen. We're going to get into the Word. And as you know, this is Communion Sunday, and so we will be celebrating that at the close of our service. But I ask that you continue to pray for us, that God would use us. And I'm telling you, I'm like Joe. I'll be glad when we can take off these masks. Amen. Halloween has been too long. Hallelujah. Anybody love the Lord today? Amen. Amen. But we want to be humble. We want to do that which is good and right, and to recognize what people are telling us that will keep us safe. Today I invite you to the Gospel of St. John. St. John's Gospel, chapter 8. Very critical message. It is in line with what we've been sharing with you over the last couple of Sundays. Things that we need to think about. And rather than being judgmental of other people, we need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves as Christians, are we obedient to the Word of God, and are we following the things that He's given for us? Because we know that this world is going to be judged. We know that. We know that the things or the kingdoms of this world, they're going to come to naught. We read that in the Bible. Don't be surprised when you see these things happening, because Jesus said it would happen. He said, now don't let your heart be overcharged and overburdened
with the things of this world. You keep your focus on the truth of God. And speaking of the truth of God, which is the next area that the Lord wants to lead us into, this truth of God found in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those disciples who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed," or truly, "you are my disciples." Verse 32, "and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Thus in the reading of God's word, we want to talk on the subject today, nothing but the truth. Amen. Nothing but the truth. Let us pray. Father, help us now. Those that are joining us online in the parking lot, help us now to discern your truth, to know what the truth is, but more importantly, to see our need for the truth. Bless us in our time together, Lord, that it will be time well spent in your word, meditating on the things that are right, and Father, living the life that is pleasing before you. We humbly ask that you bless us now in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the people of God said, amen. This is an amazing thing that Jesus is telling us. It's amazing. He's telling us the truth is available to God's people. And he says that if we continue in his word, later on in John, he'll say that sanctify them in that truth because thy word is truth. And so Jesus is telling us, here is the power of truth. First of all, God is going to give you truth. God is going to give you truth. And I'll get into that in just a little bit. But the power of the truth is that it sets us free. Now, I know people say, well, I don't need the truth. And I'll get into that in just a minute. I want to show you today's message that you need the truth. Amen. Nothing but the truth. Amen. You don't need to be told anything that's false. You need to be told something that will help you, something that will guide you, and something that will keep you right with God. Are y'all still here? Amen. A powerful word that Jesus has spoken to us. He spoke this to his disciples, and he wanted them to give heed to what he was saying. Without the truth, you have no eternal direction. You have no way of knowing that this is the right way. But when you follow God's truth and when you follow the path that he's given you, then you can walk in the light. Four things that we're going to be bringing out in this series of message. Number one, there is a need to know the truth. Write it down. There is a need to know the truth. Jesus brings it out at this point. If you don't continue to follow that which is real, you will give way to that which is false. Next week, I'll be talking about the power of deception. And one of the things that Jesus said about the end times is that he doesn't want you to be deceived. But the second thing that we bring out, the second element, not only do you need the truth, he tells us there is a need to find the truth from God. To find the truth from God. Going back to the Garden of Eden, one of the things that Jesus, God, at that point, hadn't been revealed as Christ Jesus the Lord, but he was still God. He said, now stay away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Stay away from the tree of knowledge. Enjoy the tree of life. I'm paraphrasing, of course, all right? Why was the tree of knowledge of good and evil so dangerous? Because he knew that humans, individuals, unless you were led to the knowledge, you would be absorbing all of this information and you would think that every bit of it is true. You wouldn't be able to discern evil from good, right from wrong, up from down, because the human mind is limited. Unless you get your truth from God, you don't have the truth. You don't have to say amen. The Bible already says it. So we have the need to find the truth of God. The third thing that we want to bring out is that there is certainty that you will find it if you seek it. Jesus said, not you might find the truth, not you could find the truth. He said, you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The fourth thing that Jesus brings out in this verse is that the truth always delivers from bondage. Amen. The truth always delivers from bondage. So in other words, if you don't know the truth, you're in bondage and you can't get out. You're in a situation that you cannot release yourself from. I'll get into that at the close of this message. Now, why are we bringing out this thing about truth? We're bringing out this element because we know that we're living in a day of what we call truth decay. Truth decay. Some researchers for the RAND Corporation, Jennifer Cavanaugh and Michael Rich, published a work, and they called it The Four Elements of Truth Decay, and you can read the entire information. You go to their website, you can read the information on it. But they brought out four things, and I just want to summarize it basically in three things. One, there's disagreement about the facts. There's disagreement about the facts. One person could look at the facts and see one thing. Another person could look at the facts and see something totally different. There's disagreements about the facts. But then they bring up another element that is also enters into this picture. There's the blurring between the lines of what is fact and what is opinion. My goodness, my goodness. So in other words, people say, well, okay, you present the facts, that's your opinion. You know, what if I said to my doctor when I went to him, I said, you know, he tells me you got this terrible disease, you got corona. And what if I say to him, that's just your opinion. And I take my opinion and go out and I infect a lot of other people. Hello, y'all still in the house? So there's this blurring of the lines between opinion and fact, which I call opinions are accepted as facts. Now, it's not just a thing of where I believe and I think it. Now I'm stating it as fact. Sound familiar? That's what's going on in our culture. And yes, we want to fault the people, and truly they bear the responsibility of them going in and desecrating the Capitol. But a whole lot of folks in this country and in this world believe that their opinion means everything. And your opinion means nothing. Truth decay. Truth decay. The third element that they bring out is that an increasing volume, relative volume, and resulting influence of opinion and personal experience over fact. In other words, their opinions speak so loud that they refuse to believe anything else. They refuse to believe it. Jennifer Cavanaugh and Michael Rich also bring out the fact that there's a distrust for what we formerly believed in. You pick up your Bible and you tell people, oh, believe the Bible, believe the Word of God. And people say, that's just man's opinion. That's just what man, things that brought you through, that brought your grandma through trouble, that saved your mama and daddy. Now we say, that's just man's opinion. That's just what man wrote. And you fail to realize this is what God inspired. When Jesus stood there that day and said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free or set you free, he didn't ask for your opinion. He didn't ask for my opinion. God was saying through Jesus Christ, this works. Now, do my opinions mean something? Sometimes. If they're governed by this. If they're not governed by the word, then I don't know what you got. You got something, amen? Y'all still here? You're getting mighty quiet on me. Long before Jennifer Cavanaugh and Michael Rich published their work on truth decay, there was a book that I had in seminary written by Douglas Gruthus on truth decay, defending Christianity against the challenges of postmodernism. Now, so I know it sounds like a heavy title, but basically what he was saying, as people continue to believe that they're right and everybody else is wrong, we're going to have a problem. in this age of relativism, and I quote from what he says, he said, now people are not looking at the truth based on what is evidence. They're looking at the truth based on what they feel. Postmodern ideology that stems from people believing that truth is rooted in one's opinion, religion, race, sexual orientation, political views, or beliefs. And as we look at it, we can see that happening in our society. Y'all still here? And so this whole thing can be summarized in truth decay as being this one thing. Person wrote on their bumper sticker, I've given up on reality. Now I'm looking for a good fantasy. That's our world. People just wanting to have, tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I want to believe, and I will accept that as true. Don't give me the facts. Just give me what I want to hear. Next week, we'll talk about this age of deception where the itching ear is getting people in trouble. Because sometimes when the truth hits you, it hits hard. But I guarantee you, it'll get you out of bondage. Anybody in the house today? The need for the truth. We need the truth, and the truth will set us free. A couple of days ago, I visited my dental office where I normally go. And you have this thing called a regular dental cleaning. How many of y'all had it? All right, now, I know why they're doing it. They want to send me to the dentist so, you know, they can collect some fees and, you know, all of that. But I need my teeth. Al, I don't have many more of them left. And I can't afford to just go out and buy some, all right? Y'all still in the house? So I need my teeth. So here's the thing that they did. When I got to the dentist's office, they said, now we're going to do an X-ray. And what the X-ray will tell us, data, fact, report, if you've got something going on in your teeth that you don't know about and my eye cannot see, the X-ray will tell us what's wrong. And because I'd come in for my regular cleaning, I brushed my teeth that morning and I tried to do everything I could to get everything out. That medical professional came in, got me in the chair, almost had to strap me down. But she took some sharp instruments and started scraping and brushing and doing all of this stuff to make sure that my teeth will last me a long time. I'm telling you the truth. What an experience. What an experience. When you come before God, do not think that he's just going to pat you on the shoulder and tell you that everything is all right. He will tell you what you need to know to set you free. He will give you information about yourself and about the future. Now, if he didn't love you, you go to the dentist because, you know, they're gonna collect from your insurance. But when you go to God, he gets nothing for it. Are y'all still here? But his only thing is he wants you to know the truth. He loves you so much that he doesn't want you lying to yourself. I ain't got no drug habit. I just go and use it every now and then. You got a drug habit. I don't gossip. I just respond to stuff on Facebook. You gossip. And the Bible talks about that. I don't have any animosity toward that person. And yet when you see him, you go the other way. Are y'all still in the house? Truth decay. People not wanting to accept the truth. And we preachers sometimes we want to tell folks so that they'll keep on coming to church. Listen, I have no pleasure in you going to hell. If I need to tell you something that the Lord has laid on my heart, as much as I don't want to do it in the natural flesh, the Spirit will lead you to the truth. And the truth will make you free. I'm going to get into further details on that, but this need for truth drives us. This need for truth says to us, are you going to settle with the abscess in your spirit, in your soul, knowing that the corrosion of lies has invaded us? And now we must hold our hands up to God and say, Lord, speak truth to us. My life is in ruin. And before it fails altogether, speak truth to me. That's one reason why David loved the Lord. If you go back in your Bible and you read about the Psalms, he didn't mind God confronting him because he knew that God loved him. And he would confess his need for God. What we have is people that don't even believe that God is real. Now, let me tell you something. This is a change from back in the day. If we knew we were messing up, we tuck our head, as the old folk call it, being shamefaced. We would tuck our head and say, yeah, you're telling the truth, because we believe that that was the right thing. Are y'all still here? Nowadays, people are proud and bodacious. They're to the point where they don't listen to anybody. They're going about their way. But I'm going to tell you something. You can deny the truth, but you can't destroy it. It will stand firm, and one day, if you don't respond to it, it will judge you. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let me prepare for my closing here. So what's the first thing, preacher? We need to acknowledge and to accept the truth from God. Jesus said in that verse 31, he said, now, if you continue my word, if you let my word guide you, then are you my disciples indeed. So how do we look at this? First of all, truth must be known. It must be known. If you don't know it, it can't help you. If I don't know that I'm on the railroad track and a train is coming, I can't be helped. Amen? And y'all know sometimes I get bad at hearing, especially with certain volumes. Don't tell my wife. So I might be in a dangerous place. And if I don't know what's coming my way and what could destroy me, then, ladies and gentlemen, the truth does me no good. So the truth must be known. Jesus said, underline this, you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. It must be known. It requires you not only saying, well, I got this good feeling about it. No, let it go through your head. Filter it into your intellect. Filter it into the way that you think and act. And then that truth is applied. Y'all still here? Y'all mighty quiet. You must be listening. I ain't mad at you. I'm just trying to tell us the truth. When I went through this sermon, I said, Lord, we believed a lie. We believed the lie about ourselves. And I'll tell you another thing. What people will do nowadays is they'll blow you up. Y'all know what it is? They'll blow you up. They will tell you stuff and inflate you. They will stroke your ego to get something from you. Are y'all still here? I'll get into that later on, amen? Let me stick to the text, amen? So the truth must be known. You shall know the truth. But then the second thing, the truth must be needed. It must be needed. You've got to need the truth. You know, why do you carry around in your car this thing called a spare tire? Because you know that you're driving around on Maypops. And at any moment, one of them could go out, and so you will need a spare tire. Now, January is a good time for you to go and check your spare tire, make sure it's got some air in it. Just thought I'd throw that one in there. I thought that was pretty good. All right, so the truth must be needed. Jesus said, underline this, and the truth will make you free. So without the truth, I can draw the conclusion that I'm in bondage. Now, what is it that puts me in bondage? My own sin. My own rebellion. Now, before we blame anybody, we need to acknowledge something about mankind. You were born with a sinful nature. Yeah, I know they look down at you when you were that little baby and you're so cuddly. Ain't they cute? Yeah, but they got a problem. That little cute little thing can be a boogerhead, all right? They can really be nasty. That little child that grows up, they're going to think, and the first thing that that child learns is mine, mine, My way, my time, my... And they're so cute and cuddly that when they cry, you want to give them stuff. Oh. Now, agree that sometimes they really do need things to help them, but sometimes they just cry because they want to get your attention. And they want you to cater to them. That's the human nature, folks. That's us. And God is not buying the fact that you don't need him. That's why he says, I'm going to send the truth. And the truth is going to set you free. I don't know about you, but as I grew older, my selfishness increased. My own way increased. As more information came my way, it's like a shopper or shopaholic. The more you see, the more you want. Yeah. And that's where a lot of us are. Until one day somebody comes by and they says, you need to be free. You need to be free from that addiction. You need to be free from that habit. You need to be free from that way of thought. You need to be free from your sin. Tell people they're sinners today. They don't want to buy that. I'm living my life. This is my life. I'm glad that I lived in a day when people told me you're a sinner and you need help. I humbled my heart and I believed the truth. Are y'all still here? Y'all mighty quiet today. You mighty quiet. Let me go on and summarize this thing. Okay. So the truth must be known. Truth must be needed. But then truth can be found. Great God Almighty. God's not going to leave you in the dark. He's not going to say, well, you on your own, buddy. I thought about this thing this morning as I was waking up, and I was thinking about it. I said, you know, God is so good. We think about following him as some hard thing to do, but most of the time in your life, God's getting you out of trouble. How many of y'all know that? Most of the times in my life, God's getting me out of something. Then the rest of the time, he's explaining stuff to me. And then the third element, which I want to do, I just need to show him gratitude. Are y'all still here? The truth can be found. Anyone who seeks the truth, you shall know. Look at what he said. You shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. What a gracious God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. And lastly, I want to give you an illustration for this one. Truth will deliver from bondage. You need it. You need to have it. You need to know it. But it will deliver. You got an insurance policy at your house. You got an insurance policy on your car. And in that insurance policy, they have what's known as the things that are covered and the things that are not covered. When Jesus gave you this policy, the truth will set you free. And he says, any bondage you have, I'll set you free from it. Great God, isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. Our Savior, our God saying he'll set us free. So as we look at this subject, and a lot of people say, well, I'm all right. Okay, then why are you dying? Why are you aging? Why are you going through this process? And well, I'm not going to die. Well, everybody that I know at a certain age and certain time, they leave here. But the truth is, you don't have to leave the world without a place to go. You can leave this world knowing that you have a place with God. That's the gospel. I didn't say it. God said it. And if God said it, he can back it up. We need deliverance from bondage. I'm going to tell you a story in Mark chapter 5. There's a story about this man of Gadara. And this man of Gadara dwelt in the tombs because he was demon-possessed. Some theologians and some Bible commentators said as many as 6,000 demons was in one man. And you worried about the one in you. Yeah, he had 6,000 of them. 6,000 demons tormenting him. If they said, throw yourself into the fire, he'd throw himself into the fire. If the demon said, cut yourself, then he would cut himself. Demons come in to control you. The demon of drugs, the demon of alcohol, the demon of selfishness, the demon of pride. Doesn't matter what you call it. Matter of fact, demons do not like to do things single by themselves. They like to get some company. So you have a lot of people who are demon possessed and don't know it. This man had heard those demons for most of his life telling him, do this, and all of it was destructive. So much that he couldn't even keep clothes on. Dwelling in the graveyard, or what they call the tombs, this man, until one day he heard a different voice. He heard the voice of Jesus. This man heard Jesus saying, "Come out of the man." He was speaking both to the demon and to the man. "Come out of him." And Jesus, speaking in the Spirit, did something. He drew that man to the truth. All of those 6,000 demons could not stop that man who didn't even know his name. Jesus said, "What's your name?" "Legion." That was the demon talking. But the man on the inside, great God, I feel my preacher help coming on here. The man on the inside was saying, "God, I need you. Would you set me free?" And when Jesus said one word to those demons, "Go." Just like that, his freedom came. Just like that, his bondage ended. And the Bible said that the next day when people came out, or the next minute, couple of minutes when they came out, he was clothed and in his right mind. In his right mind. Isn't it wonderful? You can wake up and think straight. Your problem's not demonizing you. Your need is not tormenting you. The stuff that you're facing is not coming in and putting you in bondage. There are people who have a worry demon. There are people who say to themselves, "I don't know if the future's worth living." That's a suicidal demon. And what you need to do, grab hold of Jesus. And say, you might not be able to put it in words. You don't have to say it. Just come to him. And as you come to him, he will set you free. The Christian contemporary group Casting Crowns, I misspelled it in my notes, Casting, C-A-S-T-I-N-G, Casting Crowns, wrote a song some years ago, "The Voice of Truth." The voice of truth. You're hearing a lot of voices now. Facebook, CNBC, Fox News. You're hearing all of these voices talk. Yap, 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 yap. What does it say? "But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth." Whose voice are you listening to? I heard the voice of Jesus. Can I get an old time preacher for you? I heard the voice of Jesus. Come on, church. Telling me still, fight on. He promised never to leave me. No, never alone. Whose voice are you listening to? If you listen to the voice of God, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Say that with me behind your mask. Nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for your mercy and love. Thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for loving us when we didn't even know how to love ourselves. You're such a kind God. Thank you that your truth has spoken. The voice of truth told us a different story. The voice of truth said, do not be afraid. The voice of truth said, this is for my glory. And out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Bless us now to accept and follow your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to get ready for our communion. And while you're getting set, I failed to recognize some of the people that we want to acknowledge. Cards from Terrence Ward. He's thanking the church for a scholarship gift. From Jasmine Royal, thank you for your generous gift in her recovery. Jasmine is here today. Everybody say hi, Jasmine. Amen. From Lewis I. Miller. And Lewis is thanking the church and also wishing you a happy new year. From Sharon and Melvin Barrow, thanking the church for their gift. We have a thank you that comes from Skylar Anderson. Skylar is here. Everybody say, hey, Skylar. Okay. Thanking the church for their gift. We also have a note and a thank you from, hold on a second. This is Richard and Rhonda Alexander thanking the church for their prayers and support during the passing of his sister in homegoing service. So we certainly want to continue to pray for them. And then we have a thank you from Barbara Hood. Thank you for the gift. It was truly a blessing. So those are our recognitions that we have. Now, if you have your communion, I want you to take that out. And as you begin to open it, I want you to think about not what we've done for ourselves, but what Christ has done for us. Let us pray. Father, thank you. I pray that you would now sanctify this communion to benefit us spiritually, to help us morally, and to guide us, because we do need your direction. Bless it now and help us to receive it with a thankful and grateful heart. We love and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he offered it. Someone needs to be served. I do want to share with people, it's important that you receive the communion. Sometimes people say, well, I did something wrong and I can't receive the communion. That's why you take it, because you need it. And you want to understand its meaning. It doesn't mean you have a license to continue to do it, but you're prayerful that by communing with Christ, receiving him into your heart and into your life, that you'd be free from those things, would love him more and serve him better. Let us take the bread and let us eat together. Let us take the cup. And let us drink together. And the Bible said after they had eaten and drank of the Lord's Supper, y'all want to hear the choir sing another song? He did such a beautiful job on that first one. Well, we can sing something. Amen.
You want to sing something?
I want to sing that chorus.
Okay.
But the voice of truth tells me a different story, and the voice of truth said, do not be afraid. For the voice of truth said, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, the voice of truth tells me a different story. And the voice of truth said, do not be afraid. Yes, the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Reverend Gibbons is going to come and dismiss us with the benediction. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap.
You know, it's always good to give. And as you leave, don't forget to give your offering. But one thing I'm so thankful of is the voice of truth. The Because as you know the truth, we shall be set free. Amen. Father God, we are so thankful that you love us and that you do give us the truth. And Father, we can know that the truth will set us free. And Father, as we depart from here, may we share the truth with others, that you so loved the world, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, bless the offering. Bless our hearts, not only because we give, but because we give out of love. May you continue to guide us and direct us in all that we do and say. And we always be careful to give you the glory and the praise. For we pray with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Stay a moment because I'm on.